passage that I want us to go this morning to focus our attention as we consider the things that we have done in this service, sending Joe out afresh, and as we have prayed for others. I want us to focus in particular on verses 14 and 15. God is here speaking to Jacob. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This morning, I want us to think of the subject, which was a book title that I read a few years ago, The Church is Bigger Than You Think. Or maybe if I modify that slightly, The Church is Bigger Than Us. We have read a story this morning about a young man. He's still single. His name is Jacob. His father's name was Isaac, and his grandfather's name was Abraham. He has a twin brother, and sadly, they don't get on too well together. Through their life, there have been times where, from a human angle, Jacob, the man that we're looking at here, has tricked his brother and has robbed him of significant blessings in his life. And this has gone on to such an extent that Esau, who is the older brother, actually is overheard saying, when my father dies, I am going to take the opportunity and I will kill my brother. His mother gets to hear of this, and Rebekah, his mother, speaks to her husband and says, look, Jacob is getting older. I don't want him to marry a woman from around here. Let's send him back to where I come from and see if he can find a wife there. So in order to protect him, his mother is sending him away, but she's also sending him away with a purpose. Jacob knows that his brother is not exactly happy with him. And it is in that context, having been sent away by his father, that we read this story. So he's on his way, leaving home, possibly for the first time in life. Maybe Joe mentioned this morning camps. Maybe that was the first time you as young people went away or might go away. Or maybe it was going away to university and separating yourself from the family setting. And Jacob is there. He has left home. He hasn't been able to actually get into Beersheba, but he's out here in the open countryside, and he is ready to go to sleep. I don't know if you've been in that situation where you have had so much on your mind. Will my brother catch up with me? Does Dad really want me to find a wife? Is Mum doing the right thing? And whatever questions you might have going through your mind. But that's how Jacob went to sleep that night, wondering if he would actually go to sleep. But eventually, he drops off to sleep, and we are told here that he has this dream of a ladder, of a staircase between heaven and earth. And this has been popularized, hasn't it, in the children's chorus and then taken up by male voice choirs. I am climbing Jacob's ladder. Each day brings me one step higher. There's, apart from the fact that there was a ladder mentioned in this story, that song has got very little biblical basis because it wasn't Jacob's ladder. It was God's ladder. Jacob didn't climb the ladder, but God's messengers went up and down on the ladder. And they are the ones who brought God's message. And it is that message that I want us to look at this morning, to see what God is actually saying to the church in every generation until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So my first heading, well, my general heading, is that the church is bigger than you think, or the church is bigger than us. I will look at that. Secondly, I want us to see that the blessing is bigger than us, or is bigger than you think. And thirdly, the church lives longer than you think, or it lives longer than us. So let's look at this first heading this morning. The church is bigger than us. In verse 14, God has spoken to Jacob. In verse 13, we're told the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Jacob was looking for a wife. Jacob was thinking of himself, but God meets with him. And I want you to focus on this. Again, I want to speak to the young people and to children this morning to remind you, as Joe said, she first came to know the Lord when she was 12. I personally came to know the Lord when I was 13. This young man, we're not told how old he is, but he meets with God as a youngster. God meets with him. And then God says to him something that perhaps, probably, any child here this morning, you think, well, am I important in the sight of God? Well, notice what God says to him in the middle of verse 14. He says, you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you all and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God is saying, you're on your own. You've run away from your family. Your family, in a way, have driven you out. You feel totally insignificant. God says, you will spread abroad. As insignificant as you feel, as weak as you feel, God says, I have got my purposes in your life. And what we have done here this morning is we have said that the church is not just Emmanuel. The church is not just the Associating Evangelical Churches of Wales. We have said that the church is going to be filled with people from every language, nation, and tongue. Here, Jacob is being told that he is not going to be limited. God's not going to be limited simply to the area in which his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, now live. But God's people will spread out until they fill the nations of the world. Jacob here is a member of a family, the father and mother, and two twin brothers. But that family, during Jacob's lifetime, was to grow until they become 70 people. They were to go into exile, and in a way, they were almost forgotten. And the church today is almost forgotten. You ask people today if they've been to church. Oh yeah, I went to a funeral the other day. I went because it was Christmas. The church is forgotten. And that's what happened to the descendants of Jacob. They went into Egypt and they became slaves there. But when God brought them out, okay, it was 400 years later, those 70 people had become 600,000 men. Let alone women and children. Friends, the church in our country is in decline. But look beyond. Look beyond our country. Look beyond our own situation here at Emmanuel and see what God is doing. William Carey, when he was stimulating the church in his generation at the end of the 18th century to get involved in mission, he preached from Isaiah 54. I just want to read to you a few verses from that chapter, Isaiah 54. It says, "Sing, O barren one." In other words, sing, those of you who've never had children, who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. Why? For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. What is God saying? He's saying, don't be limited to your current experience. I have got a greater vision. I have got a greater purpose for your life. And the promise goes on. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. God says, you may feel powerless. You may feel insignificant. But I am able to bless you. I am able to give you offspring. He's using the picture of a family, but he is using it as an illustration of those who will be saved. And what are we to do? Well, Isaiah 54 verse 2 goes on to say, enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Lord, who am I? Jacob could have said. Moses said that. Who am I to fulfill your purpose? God, through Isaiah, says, think big, plan big, prepare big, enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, make sure that there is room for your tent to be extended. It says, don't hold back. And friends, we are not to have a defeatist mentality. We are not to think that the church is finished. We are not to think that God has finished with us or his purposes. But we are to go forward believing that God will glorify his name, even using insignificant people like us, young people like Jacob. And then verse 3 of Isaiah 54 says, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Friends, the church is bigger than us. The church is bigger than you think. Jacob was a solitary individual, but God knew his plans. Now I want us to look, having looked at the church is bigger than you think, I want us to see that the blessing is bigger than you think. And here again we come back to Genesis 28, the tail end of verse 14, and the whole of verse 15. The end of verse 14 says, in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And look at the content of this blessing. There are five elements to it. I am with you. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised to you. And we come to look at this blessing. I've described this verse, if you like, as the Great Commission of the Old Testament. The Great Commission of the New Testament focuses on Matthew 28, where the disciples of Jesus were told, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all things that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God says here, it's the families of the earth. They will be blessed through you. The New Testament speaks of the nations. But what are the promises that God gives in this blessing? What does God promise the church today? And what is the promise, or what are the promises that he promises the church in the days to come? The first thing that I want you to see is at the beginning of verse 15, God says, I am with you. I am with you. One single man. You as an individual this morning. God is concerned with you. God is interested in you. Me? Nobody thinks about me. God does. God created you. God has given you life. God has watched over you. But if God is with me, another old man in the Old Testament said, if God is with me, why have these things happened to me? There are times when we cannot answer those questions. But I want you to understand this morning that God says, I am with you. And remember that this is Jacob's first personal encounter with God. His father Isaac has talked about his experience of God. His grandfather Abraham has told stories of how God called him and drew him out. But here, Jacob, for the first time in his life, has a personal encounter with God. Job was 12, I was 13. But those experiences changed our lives. I want to ask you this morning, if you are a child, I want to ask you, if you're a senior citizen, do you have a personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this element of blessing your personal experience? Has God spoken to you so clearly that you know that He's interested in you, that He sent His Son to die in your place? So that's the first part of the blessing. The second part of the blessing is, I will keep you wherever you go. Many people think of Israel as a geographical area and as a political nation. And there are people who believe that God will bring His people back to the nation or to the land of Israel. I don't believe that that is the essential promise here, that God will be with His people simply in that land. God says, I will keep you wherever you go. That is, God is saying, I will have a personal interest in you. The psalmist takes that up in Psalm 139, where he writes, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. And there David is saying that there is nowhere that we can be beyond the presence of God. God says, I will keep you. He will allow nothing to affect our lives that will separate us from Him. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 asks the question, what will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? And basically his answer is nothing. And that's the answer here. God is saying, I will keep you. But notice, he also says, and bring you back to this land. For Jacob, this meant that God was going to so work in his life that he would not go beyond God's purposes. God would have his eye upon him, and he would bring him back to the place where God could use him. Again, the psalmist says, I will guide you with my eye upon you. Friends, do not think that you're in a situation that God has not noticed. God knows. God cares. God is dwelling in the hearts of His people. So he says, I am with you. I will keep you. I will bring you back. And then he goes on and he says, I will not leave you. Re-emphasizing the fact that no matter where he goes, and again this is repeated in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13 says that the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jacob is leaving the security of his home, but God met him on the road. And let's be honest, would we expect to meet God in a situation like this? Yeah, we expect to meet God when we come to church. Yes, we are open to the fact that we might hear God speak to us as we read the Bible at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day. But when we're running away, when we're out in the wilderness, when we're far away from any religious building or religious people, would we expect God to meet us there? Yes, friends, God is able to meet us in any and every circumstance. He says, I will not leave you. And notice, when he says, I will not leave you, he actually continues and he says, until I have done what I have promised you. God has got a purpose for the lives of each of his people. Now, Jacob was an Old Testament believer. He didn't have any books of the Bible. All he had were the stories that his father and his grandfather had told him. And all he had was the experience that he had seen in his family situation. But we have got a book of 66 books. 66 different items that tell us the purposes and the promises of God. And we have this glorious promise that God will keep his promises. And this promise is not just for Jacob and for his family or the nation of Israel, but it is for all of God's people. And then we have this glorious fact that God promises that in him all the nations of earth will be blessed. This promise was given to Abraham. It is given through Paul in the New Testament as he took the message to many nations. It was given through Peter in the New Testament as Peter was the one used of God to take the message not only to Israel, but to the Gentiles. As we were growing up, those of us who were older, there were a few people of other nations that lived in our land. But today, we are a racially mixed country. God has brought the nations to us. But I want us to understand this morning that this message is not simply for geographical and political nations, but it is for people who have been damaged by sin. And in the New Testament, Paul in particular preached to people who had lived immoral lives, and yet they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And were used of God. Jacob himself is here being given these promises. And God is saying, I will never leave you. I will look after you and I will use you. But was Jacob's life simple? Was it sinless? No, because we are told that Jacob was going looking for a wife. He ended up with two wives. He ended up with two mistresses. Would we choose to use a person like that? We wouldn't, but God did. And I want to say to you this morning that no matter how your life has been damaged by your own personal sin, when God puts his hand on you, he is able to use you. Do you feel as though You can never be of any use to God this morning. Well, understand what God did with a man who made huge mistakes. So, the church is bigger than you think. The blessing is bigger than you think. And the last thing that I want to say this morning, very briefly, is that the church is longer than you. The church is longer than us. The church is longer than you think. Friends, the church will go on, the work of God will go on beyond us. And we are to prepare for that. Verse 14 says to begins with the statement, "Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth." Let's be honest. We would like God to bless us now. In fact, we would like God to bless us. We want the blessing for us. We want the blessing now. But what is God saying to Jacob? He's saying, the blessing will be for your offspring. For those who will come from your body. From those who will understand the message that you preach. And we are to have this understanding of the way that God works. It's not simply for us. We are to pray for God's blessing upon the work here at Emmanuel. But we are to happily send out people to Northover, to Little Mill, to Brazil, to China, to Malaysia, to Africa, to France, to Moldova. And we are to see that these are our offspring. And we are to rejoice as we send these people out. But also, friends, those of us who are older, we are to be alert to the fact. Let me remind you of something that you need nothing in a way to remind you of. There is going to come a day when each and every one of us who are human beings, there is going to come a day when we will die. Therefore, we have to prepare the next generation. Paul said to Timothy, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." God said to Jacob that the blessing would be in his offspring. God said to Paul, "Look for people that you can commit the work of responsibility to." We're all getting older. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns before we die, we will die. But the work of the church is to go forward. We must hand on the responsibility. Jacob knew that his children would be the means of blessing others. So this morning, as we commit Joe to a new term of service, as we pray for the Morgans, as we consider the work here at Emmanuel, in a few weeks' time, we are going to be having our annual general meeting. Are we simply going to hang on to what we've got? Are we going to be faithless and say, well, we can't do anything more? Or are we going to listen to the promises of God? Are we going to respond to the purposes of God? And are we going to hear this glorious promise, "I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." May God use us to the glory, the honor, and the praise of his name. Amen. So taking up that theme, our final hymn is 812, "Facing a Task Unfinished That Drives Us to Our Knees, a Need That Undiminished Rebukes Our Slothful Ease. We who rejoice to know you, renew before your throne the solemn pledge we owe you. to go and make you known. 812.